They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.
Coming to get you, Barbara.
This is They're Coming to Get You. Finally, someone let me out of my cage. My name is Brent Terhune.
My name is Gavin Eddings. I just love that we now are just like gorillas. Just like, ha, ha, sugar, sugar, ha, 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 ha.
That's not even the same song, Gavin.
I know. That's Feel Good Inc., my friend. And you were singing Clint Eastwood.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's on the first Gorillaz album, there was a soundbite that I couldn't figure out what it was from forever. And I don't remember what, I think its song's called M1A1. And at the beginning, it's a guy going, hello, hello. And then I saw the movie years later, and it's from Day of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
I was watching the movie, and I was like, that's the sound. You know, before TikTok, you just had to, like, find the sound.
You had to just, like, Google or, like, Shazam it. You're like,
yeah.
What's the sound from this?
Hello.
From this
song? And Shazam, what does Shazam do? Movies?
I don't think so, but you better hope it does, or you ain't gonna know what gorilla song it is.
And that I had that CD, I still do somewhere, and that was a CD with a hidden track on it.
Ooh.
Back when you could have the hit. Now you just, if you put a CD into iTunes, which is a sentence that nobody has said anymore. Those are three things that don't exist. iTunes, it's Apple Music, CDs, and disk drives. But you could see the last song was, it's a 4-minute song, but there's 17 minutes track to it, you know?
I think when I was listening to Deftones recently on Spotify, instead of just giving the secret track another, mm-hmm. like its own track, you have to like listen through the other song to like get to it. I was like, well, this is a waste of everybody's time.
I think AFI has one of those too.
Okay.
And Girls Not Gray, or Sing the Sorrow, that's the album.
Oh.
But back to our music podcast, Gavin.
Yeah, this is all about gorillas and other mid-2000s emo bands like AFI. We're talking about some sexy Deftones. No, this is our horror movie podcast, They're Coming to Get You. And today, we are going to talk about a movie that is heavily requested, a movie that I stand by and say is the scariest movie I have ever seen, also scientifically proven to be the scariest movie ever made, and that is 2012's Sinister, directed by Scott Derrickson, starring Mr. Ethan Hawke.
And I will say, you know, for throwing out some facts here quick, written by C. Robert Cargill. He's a good follow on Twitter, and I was following him, and I didn't realize for a while that he wrote Sinister 2, VHS 85, probably at least one of those segments, and Doctor Strange.
I think VHS 85 is the new one that's coming out.
Yeah, so I know they do those segments on there, and I think he wrote The Black Phone, too. And
okay.
So it's Scott Derrickson and him are, they work a lot together, as do Ethan Hawke and Scott Derrickson, you know, the whole crew.
You know those crazy guys. Brent, I know that we've mentioned Sinister in passing on the podcast before, and how your producer wife watched it and was like, I don't ever want to watch that again because it makes her feel bad. And I knew going in, we needed to cover this movie for the Halloween season because it is one of the scariest, if not the scariest movie ever made. And I put on Twitter, I was like, about to watch Sinister for They're Coming to Get You, about to fuck up my whole day.
Yeah, it's definitely one you want to watch when things aren't going well. So, there's a difference here, Gavin, I'll ask you. Is this the scariest movie ever, or does it the most dreadiest movie ever, where it leaves you with more dread than actually scares you?
I think this is like just genuinely scary. Mm-hmm. It makes me uncomfortable. I watched this on your Vudu account. Thanks for that password, by the way.
Streaming.
Appreciate that.
And I'm considering that for the highest tier of our Patreon, we should just give people the password to my Vudu. I don't know how that works if 8 people log in across the world and they're like, wait a minute.
It's going to be hard to tell, though, because when I went to watch Sinister, you had started it and like stopped at one point. So I had to like text you. I was like, hey, I'm starting Sinister now. You left off at 1 hour and 5 minutes. About to go watch this now.
Yeah, I did watch this movie in chunks, which is how you want to consume any type of media, is hours apart.
But I watched this on Vudu this afternoon, opened all the windows, let all the sun in, and still I was like, this movie is so fucking scary. And it's been a long time since I've seen it. I watched this movie for the first time probably like in 2016, 2017 with some friends. It was me and three other full grown-ass men sitting on my friend Ryan's couch, all huddled together in the dark watching this and just losing our shit. And we're all in our 30s and we're like, what the fuck is happening? What is happening right now? Why is this so scary?
I don't know that this is the scariest to me, but if you said it's the scariest, I can't disagree. There are certain, if you said Killer Clowns from Outer Space is the scariest movie, I'd say probably not. but if you said it, like if in the Mount Rushmore or the top 10 scariest, if you said this, that's the scariest movie, I couldn't tell you no. I feel like this movie is more dreadful, provides more dread, induces more dread than it is scary to me.
Yeah. Just to show how like well-known and terrifying this movie is, I was hanging out with a coworker just who I didn't speak to very, very much at work, but we had to do like a side-by-side for something we were working on. And she's like, oh, you like horror movies? I love horror movies too. And she's like, I haven't seen a good one in a while. But she's like, you know what really scared me? Sinister. And I was like, yeah, that's one. And then I recommended that she watched Smile, because I think Smile was like the scariest movie of last year.
You're wrong. No, I don't know. I will say Sinister, starring Mick Thompson, guitar player from Slipknot.
Wait,
dear listener, it's not true, but Google Mick Thompson Slipknot. That picture I sent you.
Yeah.
I texted you. I said, open up the fucking pit.
I had no idea what the context was. And I was like, LOL. Okay. Well, guess I'll hear about the podcast.
Not think that Mick Thompson with his mask looks like Bagul from this movie?
He does look like Bagul. And then I sent you a picture of the clown from Slipknot and said, doesn't this look like Pennywise?
That's true. He does float. He was floating. So, So where do you want to start with that? I like Ethan Hawke. I like that he's a true crime writer. If you just told me those things and didn't tell me anything about the movie, I'd be on board because I like that vibe.
Yeah. Well, real quick, when's the first time you watched this movie? Like, what is your experience with Sinister?
Probably, you know, within the past, I don't know, 10 years. I don't know when you said this movie comes out. I saw it before it came out.
2012, so 11 years ago. So if you're like, in the past like 13 years.
Probably in the last 5 years. Producer wife and I watched it, and she said, at the end of the movie, she's like, we need to watch something light.
Yeah.
She'll do that. This is not a pre-bedtime movie for her. And we were having the discussion, her and I, of what's the scariest movies. And apparently she doesn't get scared at shit because she said Sinister. And then she also said Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
And she didn't finish it because there's a scene in there. It's the living room scene, Gavin.
Oh,
if
I'm
you're familiar.
I'm familiar.
She's like, we need to turn this off. And I finished it. But it's not a movie that makes me feel good.
And you
it's not like Bustin'. Yeah. It's not Bustin' makes me feel good, but Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer does not.
You're like, the Bustin' feels good, but watching it does not.
No. And I could, you know, this movie is dreadful. It ends on there's no happy note to this movie.
No. It's one of those movies where it's like the villain wins. And it's very much in that early 2010s theme of like The Conjuring and the Insidious movies where family moves into a haunted house and then stuff happens. I put in my notes, once again, this family is trapped by real estate. They can't leave because they've got too much tied up in this house.
Well, and then they end up leaving. They moved.
Yeah.
And I put that in my notes because I always confuse... Not even confused, but I'll say Insidious when I mean Sinister. I know those movies aren't really similar, but in both those movies, they move again a second time in the movie.
Yeah.
After Ethan Hawke is like, I'd be writing textbooks if we had to live in that old house. And in my research, at the time of that, when they wrote the fax thing that I read, that house was for sale. The house from Sinister. It's 4-bed, 5-bath in Middle Neck, New York. Sands Point, New York, Gavin. You want to ballpark how much this house is worth?
In 2012 or now?
Now. 2023.
I'm going to say $1.3 million.
Wrong. $1.9 million.
Yeah, I undershot by $600,000.
and there's this is Zillow, and the estimated payments per month would be $14,000.
That's too much. That's too much.
That's the, like, there's a, this is the most unrealistic thing, is that a writer and whatever his wife does for her job move into a $2 million house, and there's a scene where he hits print on the computer and it prints the first time. Those are the two most unbelievable things in this movie.
And he's not out of cyan. Like, his printer has all the colors. He's able to print full, beautiful, photographic quality pictures from that printer.
So I'm out.
Yeah,
I can't, but
the scariest movie, maybe. Most realistic, absolutely not.
No. So what other intro stuff are we talking about here, Gavin?
Well, let's talk here about this opening, which is unsettling. And this movie, throughout the entire time, anytime you show any old-ass footage...
8mm.
I think it's Super 8.
Super 8, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be great. Yeah, they're showing 8mm, the Nicolas Cage snuff film movie?
yes.
Same thing.
The Machine. I think that there's a guy in that called The Machine who's like a gimp man. And
Bert Kreischer's in there?
Bert Chrysler actually is in there.
He had his shirt off.
He's like, we're robbing this train.
Producer wife did say, it's that the vibe... Hold on. Now I can't read the text. The vibe is dark and it hurts my heart because she can hear us through the wall.
I think she just sent you lyrics from The Weeknd.
That AFI hidden track song.
The vibe is dark and it makes me feel bad.
I don't feel like bussing.
The opening though, like anytime you put stuff on old technology, It is rough to watch. Like, Bagul is a hipster with his Super 8 film, but what if he recorded on like the most? What if he's like, I need to record these murders on IMAX 3D?
That would have been directed by Christopher Nolan.
I imagine Christopher Nolan like, hey, why are the kids acting weird? And why is Christopher Nolan here with these giant-ass IMAX camera? And why is he looking at our trees so much?
Hey, he's like holding his hands up in front of his eyes like he's trying to frame it.
Whatever. I guess my kid's imaginary friend is Christopher Nolan.
To add authenticity to these segments and make them look like snuff films, they were Super 8 segments were shot in actual Super 8 with cameras and film stock. Faces of Death, as well as the Zapruder film, Back and to the Left, were captured in. When it's got that feel of feeling old and grainy. And we talked about when you see a movie from like the 70s when stuff is still kind of grainy, it adds a different tone and quality to the movie.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
These segments.
Yeah. And that's what sets this apart and makes it so unsettling is the horror comes from the Super 8 segments. Anytime you see Ethan Hawke sitting alone in his office drinking some scotch or whatever alcohol he's drinking, and then just watching this old ass footage, you're like, oh, this is gonna be a bad time. This is just, yeah. I'm gonna feel bad for like the next 4 minutes. And the vibe is dark, and I don't feel good.
It hurts my heart. this movie, this is the darkest house I think I've ever seen in a movie. There's not one goddamn light turned on in this movie at all.
Well, they're paying $14,000 a month in mortgage, so they're like, turn these goddamn lights up. They can't run the air in the summer. They can't run the heat in the winter. Like, every dime has to go to just powering the Super 8 camera and making sure I can look at where I'm drinking.
It's that Chris Rock bit where his dad unplugs the alarm clocks. You're not using it when you're asleep. Now, what I proposed this question when producer wife did watch some of this movie with me. What funny videos do you think would be funny to cut in and have Ethan Hawke watch as opposed to these gruesome videos? Like, she's like, you got to have backing up Terry.
Would it be? If you've never seen
Put It in Reverse Terry, just Google Put It in Reverse Terry and watch it. It's hilarious.
That's how it is not 4th of July in my household until we watch Terry bag it up, put it in reverse.
Yeah, like funny America's Funniest Home Videos where somebody gets hit in the balls with a football or something, or like David After Dent, any of those big viral videos, if we can somehow cut those in
Chewbacca
to have
Mom.
Ethan Hawke. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's much lighter tone to the movie and wouldn't make my heart hurt so much.
If any of our fans of this podcast, they've done it before where they cut the Midsummer footage in. Mm-hmm. With by God, I broke it in half with Jim Ross from wrestling. If any of you want to superimpose a Brent Tyrhune truck rant video into Sinister, I think that would be incredible. I'm tired of this woke shit. That's a good one you've just done. I just want to watch Ethan Hawke and is he at a men's rights activist? What is he at a men's rights rally? What's he doing? I'm tired of this woke shit.
I can relate to this character because he literally says in this movie, he just says, I need another hit.
Oh, my God. So I wrote that down. I wrote that down, too. I was like, that's me after every open mic. I just need another hit. I'll never write another joke as good as my Nintendo Switch joke. I need another hit.
That's me. Like, I need another boat sank in Lake Travis. God damn it. I'm not relevant till I have a hit.
Just one more. What? And then you're like, but what if, but your wife, your kids, they're your legacy. And you're like, I don't know. They're not.
Like, this guy is compelled. Like we could talk about that part too. Like, he's like, this is my legacy. This is, I have to write. And I think part of him, he really believes that.
Yeah.
But also his obsession with having another hit is gets him killed, you know?
Yeah. What I've learned is the more you try to force a hit, the better it's going to be. Just keep trying to force it, everybody. Don't let it happen naturally. That's why every Michael Jackson episode, that's why every Michael Jackson album is just more Thriller. Because he's like, I need more hits. I need more hits. Also, side note, segue, if you go to our Patreon at patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou, we have an episode up right now where we cover the Michael Jackson Thriller video.
Yeah, and man, does it still hold up? And man, do we not feel good about those alleged allegations?
The vibe is dark and also kind of white in that one, too. Yeah. So.
Well, it's directed by John Landis. So, but yeah, that's over on Patreon. I think what we're up to, 6 bonus episodes that will never, ever, ever see the light of day.
Yeah, because those are the ones where you're just really unhinged. And
that's true.
It can't be consumed by the public.
And when you sign up for our Patreon, we will leave a box of tapes in your attic. That's how you get the Patreon episodes.
Oh, God. You have to watch. This one's called Michael Jackson's Thriller. Oh, no. Why is it raining outside? And what's that lawnmower doing?
they move into this house. And, of course, he doesn't have the big reveal that they moved into the murder house.
Yeah. And he even lies to his wife, which, first off,
He didn't lie. He just didn't tell the truth, Gavin.
Fellas, let me talk to you for a second. Fellas, if you got to tell your wife I didn't technically lie, you already fucking up. Am I right, fellas? Am I right? Also, I'm humping the stool right now.
You ain't using that clock. But yeah, every married person, and I'll just say, I guess men, where you say, I didn't lie. She said, well, we moved in a few doors down from the murder house. And he's like, no. And I just know, I'm like, this is going to be a huge argument later.
Yeah. And I knew something was up when the director panned down the camera and he had his fingers crossed and he goes, ain't I a stinker? Oh, boy, I hope she doesn't find out there's a murder here. Am I right?
Even from the start of the movie, the cops are giving him the business. They don't like him poking around in their town trying to write a book discrediting their police work.
Yeah, because he had one big, he had one book called like Kentucky Blue.
Kentucky Blood.
Kentucky Blood. And then he, so that was like a huge hit, really good police work. But then I guess he had two follow-ups that, that were not as good. It made the police look really, really bad. So now he's on his fourth book.
And he even says, when he said, I need a hit, he says, I need my my In Cold Blood. And I had to look that up because I'm not well read. Is a fiction novel or a nonfiction novel by American author Truman Capote, first published in 1966. It details the 1959 murders of four members of the Clutter family in the small farming community of Holcomb.
Yeah, I actually have that book. It's on my bookshelf. And I started to read it. And then, like many books, I stopped.
Yep, a squirrel ran by.
Yeah,
and that was that for that book.
Yeah, there is the movie with I can't remember what his name, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay,
Capote. It's a movie based on him writing that book.
Oh, okay.
So it's very good. It's a very good movie. Highly recommend. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman. He did win an Academy Award for it.
Gone too soon.
So much. So very, a very, very talented actor. Very, very troubled, but also very, very talented.
Take any, the old man said I could have any rug in the place.
Man, I just don't know what you're talking about. It ties the room together, man. So I will say that cop, though, is such a dick. He's like, well, best you can do is pack them boxes up and keep on moving. It's like, hot damn, you really want this man gone.
If he wasn't a cop, he would say, you're not from around here, are you? Like, that's the vibe.
What in tarnation you doing in these here parts? You from the big city?
I don't know what gave it away. The moving truck?
New York City? They have pay salsa up in New York City.
They don't make they make salsa up there.
Yeah. So my question... Go ahead.
No matter the small town, they always have a Mexican restaurant. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah. They're like, today we're going to go to Hacienda.
Yeah. There are some of the good ones over there.
We have a couple Mexican restaurants here in here. And we've got Los Bravos, which is like the authentic Mexican restaurant that everybody loves. Then we also have Hacienda. Do you guys have Hacienda up there?
Probably.
Hacienda is where you'll have like a white dude named Jake bring you your Mexican food. But Los Bravos is like Latino owned, Latino operated, where it's got like that real good Mexican food. But Hacienda is like, hey, here's some ketchup salsa. And you're like, well, this ain't too bad, I guess.
It's chunky. I don't think it's supposed to be. I love a Mexican restaurant when they have like that like Pepsi gave them the cups. It's a Pepsi cup, but it's the biggest goddamn plastic cup you've ever had in your life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, this is Pepsi. Okay, I like this.
They had to get special straws because the regular ones weren't big enough.
I just love, you know what? I know I'm at a good Mexican restaurant when they pull out them those fajitas and they sizzling. Oh, gives me a real good experience.
Oh, they don't have to be that hot. Wait, you can wait a minute.
I don't think anybody's ever impressed with like, oh shit, they're gonna eat that so hot.
Oh god, I'm about to sue somebody up in here.
If they spill that, it's over for them.
Sir, you have both McDonald's coffee and fajitas in your lap.
I like to live dangerously.
I like to cash in.
I will say this though. This whole thing, they move into this murder house. The opening, one of the best openings to any horror movie. I hate it. We have now gone zero episodes once again without somebody being hanged. It's the all hangman season here on They're Coming to Get You. The only one that didn't, I'm sure there's probably a deleted scene of like Marnie getting hanged in Halloween Town that they just had to cut for content or time, I guess. But this hanging is so brutal. It's the worst hanging we've witnessed in any of the horror movies we've watched so far, in my opinion.
And I think it's because I was going to say 8mm, but Super 8. It's that vibe, and it's so cinematic where there are four people with bags on their heads. Mm-hmm. But of course, it doesn't start out that way. It's like a family in the backyard. And I love how they're all like cutely named, like family hanging out. Mm-hmm. And they're just, then the vibe changed and my heart hurts.
Yeah.
Because now they're getting ready to be hanged, and like, it's like a pulley system where they cut the tree limb or something, and then they yeah. all go up and at the same time. And it's, for like being a terrible thing to watch, it's kind of beautiful the way they shot it.
They
right?
shot it really well. There's like no sound. Because there's like mm-hmm. Super 8 really doesn't have sound. So it's just like,
it's
just
that click. Yeah. Like that click, the pop on vinyl, you know?
Yeah. You really hear the warmth of the hanging in the film.
You've not seen somebody hang, so you've seen it on Super 8, which is where I'm staying this week.
But you watch, and just watching, because you know it's coming, you see like a pole saw just like slowly sawn, whatever. Mm-hmm. And as somebody who's done some light tree trimming in our backyard, I got to give Bagul and this child, spoiler, children are involved in this. Mm-hmm. I got to give these Bagul and the child some credit for having a pretty good limb trimming service. They've got a pretty good system down.
Yeah, I'm looking back now, and that's how I realized both our cars were crushed by a tree, which is real. I don't know if I mentioned on this program, but both our cars were crushed by a tree.
Yeah, and that goddamn Bagul.
Yeah, it was the Bagul. It was, I should have gone with someone who wasn't as cheap. And there were people hanged in our front yard. Did I mention that?
but really, the Prius was destroyed.
It was no more.
You hate to see it.
So it starts out with that, and then we get to see it later when Ethan Hawke is. I almost called him Ethan Hawking, like he's in a wheelchair.
I need another hit. Just one more hit, please, please, just one more.
Capote had his in cold blood. The universe is infinite.
I cannot get out from under this fucking house.
We are drowning. So they're moving in, and they're moving all the stuff in, and of course they're letting the daughter paint on her walls in her room. I think that if I was a kid, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, just paint on there, but you cannot let kids paint or have any arts and crafts access in a horror movie, because they're going to do a lot of weird shit. They're not going to paint sunshine and rainbows. They're going to paint like, oh, here's the family that was hung mm-hmm. that you just yeah. had to watch in the opening scene.
Here's my friend Tony who lives here. Well, I guess we don't, because we're out of here.
Tony better pay some goddamn rent. We are drowning.
But they're moving in. He finds a box in the attic, and it's the box of all these Super 8 movies.
Yeah. And
in the murder house.
In the murder... Just... If you find a box of tapes, if you find a spooky record, if you find a spooky book, mm-hmm. leave it alone. Don't play it. Don't look at it. Don't play it. Don't read it. Leave the spooky shit alone.
In my attic, there are some like stuff that was left over from the previous owner who built this house. Her name's I say it in my act, and now I can't. Her name is I'll think Emma. Her name's Emma.
Okay.
And up in the attic, there's some like books off to the side. And I've not touched them.
Yeah.
There's like pamphlet. I think something, there's one that's political, but I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah. Leave it the fuck alone. Leave it alone. Yeah.
It looks like it's made out of somebody's face, and it looks like it's in Latin. Mm. So
I want you to know just how much this Sinister movie has messed me up. So I picked to do this episode the same day that Stephanie left for a conference. So she's gone. It's mm-hmm. just me in this house by myself right now mm-hmm. and with the cats. And even as I'm recording the podcast, I've got my headphones on. I can hear myself recording. Any like weird pop or weirdness in the house, I'm like, mm-hmm. is it Bagul? Is it, am I going to get Baguled?
You said she's gone?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have sworn somebody walked past you.
Shut the fuck up. It will mess with me, man. It will mess. God damn it. Don't do that. That's what. Oh, God. I hate that shit when they're like, what was that? What? Because Stephanie did that to me last night on Snapchat. She's like, did you hear that noise?
God damn it. And don't ask me that.
And I go, what? And then she sends me like a snap of her like looking spooky, and I wasn't expecting it. I was like, she jump scared me through my phone.
Yeah, but you've been had.
I know. Ugh. just the worst.
But he finds these tapes, and they're all labeled. There's family hanging out. There's barbecue, pool party, sleepy time.
Yeah.
And did the lawnmower kill have one? Because all I wrote was lawnmower kill.
I think it had like yard work.
Okay.
My thing is, go ahead.
I did write that there was one in there called Boner Jams 99.
But that was unrelated.
Well, that's from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes, it is.
When he tries to give Andy's big box of porn.
No, I don't want your big box of pornography.
That would be funny if there was like Boner, if that was Boner Jams 99. It was just like old porn.
Somebody who's more talented than us in editing, edit him watching Brent Tier Human clips while also having Boner Jams 99 in the box when he finds it.
Yeah, I got a video of that. I'll send it to you.
My question, though, is, if I haven't seen Family Barbecue, can you follow Pool Party?
You know what? You might be lost for a minute, but I think, you know, eventually you'll get what he's trying to do.
You really get it. You're like, there's no reoccurring characters. It's more of an anthology series, really.
Yeah, nobody really comes back for the sequel. Do you want to talk about these right now and just kind of each one?
Yeah, I do want to make a joke real fast because there's one thing. He finds it in the attic and he starts watching them and he gets freaked out because he finds a snake in the attic at one point. So I thought about how terrified you were of that.
Don't like it. Don't like snakes.
But I thought about, there is a lot of parallels between this and Christmas Vacation.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when he starts watching Clark Griswold's old family photograph, what would you do?
And then he falls through the ceiling.
Yeah, he falls through the ceiling like he's Clark Griswold. So I was like, that's a solid Christmas Vacation reference, which I assume the director was going for.
That'd be funny if somebody cut a video of him falling through the ceiling and then it's Chris Farley hitting the coffee table.
We're giving our crack editor so much work. We need Ethan Hawke watching Brent Tier Hume clips with a copy of Boner Jams 99 next to him, also falling through the attic as Clark Griswold and being Chris Farley.
And then the guy from Slipknot's there too.
Psychosocial.
But so family hanging out, we kind of talked about that. Anything else you to say about that one?
Don't like it. I think probably the worst hanging I've ever seen on film, except for that Sopranos episode where the guy does pee himself.
Oh yeah, he with the members only jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene, because he pees himself.
He just wanted out. He just wanted out of the life.
Tone, come on, I'm trying to retire.
I did that thing.
Then we have barbecue, which is the family tied up or duct taped up in the car and gas poured on the car and then lit on fire.
Yes. None of these made me feel good. These were all so, and the way they're like, we keep saying it, the way they're shot is so creepy. It's low lit. The house doesn't have any lights on. The video camera has like one light on it, so you can only kind of make out certain things. And what makes it scary is you can't really see anything. There were some scenes where I was like, I can't tell what's happening. And then you realize quickly, you're like, oh, there's somebody duct taped and tied up in the back of a car. And now it's on fire and they're being cooked.
Barbecued, if you will.
Barbecued, yes. Yes, indeed.
You've got Pool Party where they're strapped to the pool chairs and then dragged in.
Yeah.
Don't like that. One of my notes was that they actually had them tied to the things and bound to the chairs and dragged them in, and then they were divers down in the water to give them oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was real.
And then one thing, if you want to go back to here's a fun fact about the hanging stunt for hanging out with the family. The family that was hanged on a tree were all played by stuntmen. However, when the scene was first done, the stunt coordinator botched the preparations for the scene, resulting in the actors being legitimately hanged and choked. Fortunately, they survived, and the coordinator was fired soon after.
That's like that Owen Hart thing.
Yeah.
Owen Hart was a wrestler and he tried to descend from the rafters and then they messed up the rigging and he died.
Yeah.
Like, how would you like to be that guy? Obviously, these people were hanged, but not to death. But
yeah.
God.
or even more recently, the story with Alec Baldwin. He shot,
oh, yeah,
he shot somebody on set, and that was, people want to blame Alec Baldwin for that and be like, well, you should have checked the prop. It is not the actor's job to check the prop. It is the fucking prop master. It's because the actor just needs to act. You can't have them checking their own props, because an accident will happen more often if the actor is fucking with the props as opposed to the prop master.
Yeah, that's why there's a guy named the prop master.
Yes, he's also a wonderful bad Batman villain, I would assume.
Hey, I'm the gatekeeper. Are you the prop master? I'm the key grip. Are you the prop master?
Well, I've got a. I'm the union lighter. I'm what? Huh?
I'm Rick Moranis.
Yeah. So that. Do you think they use the shot of them actually choking?
I mean, it would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because nobody died, you know.
Yeah. Be like, can we use it? Is it,
I mean, it happened. I'd be like, sure.
Yeah, let's go for it. Sometimes the best magic is made when people are legitimately in danger.
That would be a horror movie, is the stunt coordinator really kills the people.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, isn't that kind of what Death Proof was? The Quentin Tarantino movie where stuntman Mike.
I haven't seen it in a while, and I tried to rewatch it, and I said, I can't get through this.
It's not very good. I did not like it then. I tried to rewatch it. I still don't like it. But that's Kurt Russell as like a stunt driver who kills people.
Yeah, stuntman Mike.
With his car. So,
and that's a spoiler. We're watching Death Proof next week.
Please don't make anybody watch Death Proof, especially me. But going forward, yeah, we've got a pool party, and that one is. I only remembered certain kills in this. I forgot that they did so many of them. Mm-hmm. I remembered the hanging. I remembered the barbecue. Did not remember the pool scene. Did not remember Sleepy Time, which is the most fucked. I think Sleepy Time is incredibly fucked up.
It's, you know, they're bound in bed again, and it's what I would assume a mom and a dad and then a child.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the most basic, because we get knife kills all the time in movies, but there's something different about going around and doing it one by one. Can you imagine the person you're sleeping with that next to you gets their throat slit, and you just got to listen to that?
God,
knowing you're next.
I hate that I'm in my house by myself right now. You are not. Yeah. You are not helping. You're like,
who's next?
Fucking unsafe Goldberg over here. Fuck Goldberg. He'll botch the throat cutting.
Did one of your lights go out?
Stop. Fuck off, Brent. Fuck off. I hate you so goddamn much. Stop it. Why did I pick this? And Stephanie already sent me good. She's an hour ahead. She already texted me good night. And then be like, she never made it. What do you mean?
You're all alone, pal.
I need the cats, who will not protect me at all.
No, they'd be the first to get out of there. There's a reason they're called scaredy cats.
The cats have been working with Bagul the whole time.
You know, they'd weave in and out of his legs while he's walking towards you.
When I hear somebody fall down the stairs tonight, I'll know who it was.
Yeah, it's like you're alone and you hear a noise downstairs and you're like, yeah, they're going to have to come up here because I'm not going to investigate.
I have to call my sister. Be like, Gabriella, can you come over? Leave your kids. Go.
Then we've got yard work, Gavin.
Yard work. Oh, my God. This is one of the greatest jump scares ever of anything. I'd put that up there with the red face demon in. Mm-hmm. I put it
Insidious.
Up there. Insidious. I put it up there with the chest burster from Alien. Any of the greatest jump scares you can think of. The lawnmowers. God, it's just a family hanging out, being watched through the windows, which is also one of my biggest fears, is being watched through some windows.
Mm-hmm.
Stop looking around my room on my camera.
No, I just thought I saw something. But go ahead.
But we've got. And then it just cuts to, it's raining outside, and you see somebody mowing their lawn. And I'm going to say, first off,
In the dark,
it's either too late or too early to be mowing the lawn. So first
you
off,
Matt, somebody's got to be pissed that it's like 7 a.m. And not that there's bodies on the ground, but like, hey, could you wait till at least 9?
Yeah, before you mow down your family.
Yeah.
But just the way it shot, I'm going to be honest. I love horror movies, but this movie scares me. This is the first time I've watched it since that night. Stephanie watched it by herself. I made her watch it by herself. Mm-hmm. Because she's like, can we watch Sinister? I go, no, it's too scary. It's too scary. And then she watched it. She's like, it's fine. And I was like, what is your heart okay? Are you human? But that scene messed me up. I like kind of fast forwarded through the lawnmower scene because of how I did go back and I went too far. So I had to rewind. So I ended up watching it anyway. But it's just so the sound. It's just you're watching the lawnmower be pushed through the yard, and then suddenly after like 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds of nothing, you just see a person come into view, and you know they just got lawnmowered like they were in Dead Alive.
I can't disagree with you if, you know, you said it's one of the best jump scares, because I don't know what people would expect, but somebody's gonna die, but then it to happen so quick. And again, it's that tone of that Super 8 movie, and it's raining, and again, you get that one solo light, so you don't get much with it. I would agree with you, Gavin.
Yeah, just, And the movie even knows how bad it is, because it immediately jumps to Ethan Hawke. Jumping back and back, and with Sleepy Time, that kill, it's also done so creatively, because you don't see the throat cuts on the screen, you see it in Ethan Hawke's glasses.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, I'm more of a visionary than you are, so that
you're
makes
an artiste.
I would know that, but it is just
So would these be snuff films?
Yes, very.
Because I'm looking, I was watching. I was like, I don't really know the definition of a snuff film, but it's like people really dying, right? Like,
yeah, they used to be a lot more prominent on the. I mean, you can still find them on the internet if you know where to look.
Faces of Death.
Well, Faces of Death, actually, that's one that I thought was, that's one of those that's like a legendary, like, video nasty, if
those would be viral videos to Oma. You just go on Twitter now.
Yeah, you just go on Twitter, like, and be like, watch somebody die, and they're like, here you go, retweeted by Elon Musk.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ.
But yeah, well, Faces of Death was actually, most of it was all faked. And it got the reputation of being like real, because people would go to school and be like, I saw this crazy thing, and it was like banned in certain countries. But a lot of Faces of Death was actually fake. It was like a fake snuff film.
My brother, thanks for bringing him up, Gavin. Mm-hmm. Would
was he on one?
No.
Is that how? Is that what happened?
Next year, 2024. The one, and I don't remember if it was Faces of Death or, but it was one of those where it was a compilation of bad shit happening. Mm-hmm. And the one that always comes to mind is Bud Dwyer. He was a politician, I think, that got caught doing something, and he, fast forward if you don't want to hear what happened, but he pulls a gun out of an envelope and he shoots himself in the mouth.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me because he said, this will hurt someone. And then he hurt someone. And it's just, yeah.
And then isn't that, I feel like we brought up Bud Dwyer before, because I always, every time I hear Bud Dwyer, I go, you know the Filter song, Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Is about Bud Dwyer. And that's the only fun fact I have at parties. And it's really hard to bring up Bud Dwyer naturally.
I'm sorry, did you say Budweiser or Bud Dwyer?
You know, Budweiser. Well, if you said Bud Dwyer, the Filter song, Hey Man, Nice Shot, it's about him. Oh, Budweiser? Oh, the frogs are great, man. The frogs were great. I love that.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to go gay. I don't drink Budweiser. I'm talking about Bud Dwyer. You want to see the video? It's on my phone.
You want to see it? But a lot of Faces of Death was fake. But yeah, it's one of those like legendary like video nasties where you see it at like the video store. I remember the Book Broker here in Evansville. They had like, when they rented videos, they had like Faces of Death 1-5. And anytime I'd like even look at it, my parents would be like, no, no.
Nope.
Shuffle
probably,
you away.
That's good. Yeah. Fake death or real death. That's probably good to not watch that.
Yeah, and then the internet happened, and I was like, well, what's going on in the Taliban?
Yeah, let's go to E-Bombs World. Rotten.com.
Did E-Bombs World have a lot of like beheadings on it?
I don't know. I saw them. It's like, I remember watching a beheading video in Keep Fishing by Weezer. What a contrast.
You were on ICanHasCheeseburger.com in their really dark section.
And then I watched The Angry Strawberry. You remember that one?
I don't. Do you remember the Lemonade song?
No, I don't remember that one.
Got any grapes?
What about 55?
I showed Stephanie the duck song. It's like, got any grapes? No, sir. I say, we only have lemonade. And Stephanie's like, what is this? And I was like, this is a video that was really big.
We used to just say that to each other in the hallway at school.
Yeah. One of my favorite tweets is when they're like, before memes, all we did was quote Anchorman at each other for hours on end.
Mine was Chappelle's Show, but yes.
Yeah. Fuck your couch.
So he's watching these movies because he needs a hit.
Yeah.
And from the jump, he's got his kid popping up out of a box.
Yeah.
Like doing some like gymnastics type backbend stuff. And I think the director, Scott Derrickson, said his son would have night terrors and look at him and scream like that and not know what he was doing. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. So I have night terrors.
I think you when we stayed together, you said, by the way.
Yeah. So that's a funny story. So I don't think I've ever had night terrors around you because when you're spooning me, I feel safe.
Yep.
I feel safe. And I was like, yeah. But I did have night terrors. I went to my friend's bachelor trip in Washington, D.C. back in May. And I was staying with this great, great dude named Clyde. Great guy. We got along great. And I was like, hey, man, just in case, I do have night terrors sometimes. But I'm on vacation. I shouldn't get stressed. It's fine. He's like, all right, man, cool. Last night, I'm there. He's leaving in the morning for a flight because he was flying to somewhere else. I fucking wake up screaming. I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, man, it's cool. You're fine. Then I don't talk to him again until the wedding weekend. And he's like, hey, man, you good? And I was like.
Waited months.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, man. He's like, all right, good. Because he's like, I don't care, but you about scared the fucking shit out of me because I had to get on a plane.
Well, I think that's the normal response is I assume the room was half dark. You're sleeping. Yeah. It sounds like a stranger.
Yeah.
And then that just be awoken by screaming from the next bed or the same bed. I don't know how you roll. And I know how you roll when we stay together, but so when you have night terrors, is it a dream? Are you having a dream or what?
Sometimes. I have a lot of intruder dreams, like where there's something like intruding.
That's funny that you say that.
God damn it. Leave me alone. I have to sleep in this house tonight. Alone with Bagul, who will not spoon me. but it's usually dreams, and I toss and I turn, and I just scream. And Stephanie has to be like, Gavin, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're safe. And I was like, oh, where am I? Sometimes I used to like get up and have night terrors.
Oh, no.
Where I remember one time very distinctly getting out of bed and then like jumping at my mom and being like, I screamed. I had just seen Star Wars Revenge of the Sith where the Yoda and Sidious battle was happening.
Well, those prequels will give you night terrors anyway.
Oh, for sure. And in my dream, I thought I was Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine. And I screamed corkscrew and I spun at my mother and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, ah, I don't know. And then she's like,
did you wake up? Like, do you ever wake up standing up?
I never wake up standing up. That's only happened like once or twice. I have woken up before. One time I stayed up way too late and like was up for like 24 hours straight. I did like some, like a volunteer job at like a church. I woke up. And my legs were hurting and I started like screaming that I'd been shot in the legs and they're like, Lieutenant Dan, you ain't got no legs.
A little nubs, just a kicking.
It's rough. Night terrors are a real thing. And I know a lot of people suffer from them and it's never fun. It's never starting a new relationship. You're like, hey, listen, I'm going to scream sometimes.
How far into you being with, Stephanie? Did you say, hey, by the way, I might scream?
After the seventh time.
Okay, yeah.
I was like, so.
By the way, I have night terrors. She's like, oh, I know. That would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, what's funny is when I woke Clyde up on that trip, I managed to scream over his CPAP machine. So he had a CPAP machine that's like running, and I was like, I don't know if I was competing with it, but I was like, I'm going to have the hardest night terror to really show this CPAP machine who's boss.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you popped out of a box in this movie.
I don't know how he got in the box, though. I never did that. And like, maybe he was having like a really dope Metal Gear Solid dream.
Mm-hmm. It was a dick in a box, and his name was Gavin. Come
his
on.
His whole dick was in that box, technically. You are not wrong.
Yeah. The kids are starting to see stuff, and his daughter is... Well, no, then his son draws the hanging on the board at school.
Yeah.
What does the daughter do? I don't remember.
She just kind of... She starts drawing the little girl in the hallway.
Oh, she's yeah. Like, outside the room where she's not supposed to.
Yeah, and they're like, what are you doing? You got to draw in your room. And she's like, well, she doesn't want to be in the room because that was her brother's room. And now you've got like a family of ghosts that are talking to your kids.
Yeah, it's one too many ghosts, which is if just one, it's too many.
My thing
and
is...
We should mention, by the way, that he finds a scorpion, a snake, and a black dog, which comes into play later.
Yes. Which is a really good metal lineup. If you're ever at a show and there's the scorpions playing, a snake, and then a black dog, you're like, this is going to be a good lineup.
And by the way, that black dog in the movie was played by Sirius Black from Harry Potter.
And I think this movie had a really good soundtrack, except when the scorpion played Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Here I am! It was like halftime at a hockey game. Come on. And they're like, who wants a t-shirt?
Now we're going to do the puck toss. Here we go.
Gritty.
by the way, I love that I get to do a podcast with Gritty.
You know,
it's a really big honor. Your googly eyes, you only have googly eyes for me, and I appreciate that.
I've decided to break my silence and spin it on a horror movie podcast.
I will say, because he during this entire time, he's investigating these videos, like he's finding more and more clues. He's finding the hidden Where's Bagul in the video. And at that point, if I start seeing like the guitars from Slipknot in these murder videos, I'm just done investigating. You got faces turning, you got the film bursting into flames. That's when I'm out at this point. I don't want to do anything else.
You're finding murder videos in the murder house.
Yeah. And just so then he talks to Vincent D'Onofrio and gets like the lore of Bagul. And he's like, well, why are you asking all these questions? Well, what kind of book are you writing?
Yeah. A Bagul book, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, he's also a true crime writer. You could give him a Google. And that was a weird, like, Vincent D'Onofrio is like not a huge name actor, but I was like, oh, I forgot he was in this movie. He's done enough for me to, you know, he's Private Pyle.
Yeah.
I don't know why he was in this movie. I'm happy he was there, but I don't know why he took this part.
Well, this was in 2012 where he really wasn't doing a lot. He had done Law and Order Criminal Intent. Mm-hmm. He had come out with that. He was also in Men in Black in the late
90s. Sugar Water.
Perhaps you may have heard of his work on Sugar Water. but I also believe, so he didn't have a lot going on, and this was before he started playing the Kingpin on Daredevil. So he was a little bit between jobs. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Ted Higgins. This actually...
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, this is one of... Why are you really... What are you saying? Are you saying he's too good for this? Are you...
Yeah, but I'm glad he's there. For a man that has retweeted me once on Twitter, I'm
did
happy
really?
Vincent did not... Yeah, I think so.
Oh, nice.
But I just like him as an actor. I think he's good.
He's a very good actor, and he does a good job here. He's basically does all of his acting through Zoom call.
Yeah, which was ahead of its time.
Yeah, this is
because this movie and competes with Host as the scariest movie on that that chart every year, right?
Yeah, and one of them deals directly with a plandemic, and this one actually just predicts a plandemic.
But he gets the professor, and he's trying to learn all these symbols, and find the lore of Bagul.
Yeah. And I don't really did you write notes on the lore of Bagul or what he's supposed to do? Or,
well, I have notes of like of what Bagul is, it, like as how they came up. But I think it was like a pagan god. I think essentially,
yeah. But who like has to have children to usher them to like the other world or something
to eat the children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as Cargill, the writer. Essentially wanted like an evil, sinister Willy Wonka which, you know, which later would become the Babadook. whether it's in a look or in a book, you can't escape the Babadook. But he typed the word horror into Flickr that the, as I don't even know if it's still a website anymore, but it's the photo website. And he sifted through 500,000 images and found about 15. And he found this one tagged with the name Natalie. He was particularly struck by Natalie and decided, why not just use this guy? So he and the director contacted the photographer and purchased the rights to that picture. So Bagul is really named Natalie.
Oh, that's very progressive of this movie to have your ghost demon named Natalie.
Natalie. It's about time we had a broad killing people out here.
I think so, too, really. Because all you really have, like, Annie Wilkes from Misery and Urban Legend.
Us, maybe.
Yeah.
There's more. We can't think of them.
Yeah.
Shut up.
We'll give you a second now to yell at your radio or your or your listening device. Be like,
pound on your AM radio where you're listening to this.
He said that
he wanted to make it look like a black metal performer. Now, Slipknot's not black metal, but to a lot of people, it might as well be black metal. And they researched black metal while looking for the inspiration for Bagul's symbol. And some of the background music for these murder sequences was taken from ambient tracks by bands associated with Norwegian black metal, the blackest of metal, the darkest of metal, including Olver and Aghast. I don't know those bands, but I did like, what's that movie about the band Death? And it's got a Culkin in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it Deathgasm? Or
no. It's I'll have to look it up, but it's like Lords of Chaos.
Okay.
It's about the true story of the black metal band. I think they're called Death, right?
Yeah.
Either way, like one of the performers would bury his clothes in the ground and then dig them up on show day to like be dead, and they have dead pig heads on stage. Shit that I'm like, this is metal, but it's too much.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who really like that. And so you and I are, you're a much bigger fan, but I'm also a fan of the band Ghost.
Yeah.
And Ghost is very like mainstream, like black metal adjacent kind of. They're much more like,
pop rock metal
melodic. They have very nice songs. It's like an evil choir at times.
Yeah,
but it's very good. But like some people are like, I like the most evil band I like is Ghost, and like, well, have you seen Farmer's Daughter? And you're like, what's Farmer's Daughter? And like, well, what they do is they get a farmer's daughter from the local village and they sacrifice her on stage every night. And you're like, what a gimmick to have.
I thought it was a lot to be a hypnotist every night getting people from Craigslist. By the way, the band's name is Mayhem.
Okay.
They're still a band. And this is a spoiler, but one of the guys killed the other guy.
Oh.
And then was in jail.
That's pretty black metal.
Yeah, that's the blackest of metal, the darkest of metal.
The metal.
And then Vincent D'Onofrio, it says in that video, he said, this isn't some metal band. I like that as what they're going for. But
nice.
He thinks it's more of an initiation than just one guy.
Yeah. So I like the character of Bagul. How do you feel about Bagul as a character?
I mean, as a character, there's not much to him. I guess he's the one. I don't know. He's not the one doing the videos, because we see at the end who is actually doing the videos. But to say sinister, ding, 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 ding. He used the word
title.
But like, it's a sinister, just lurking presence wherever he is in the movie.
Yeah, and he's in the shadows sometimes. And like that scene where you see the computer and he's like, he turns his head and looks at it or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just so creepy and unsettling. I will say that they did do two really cheap Bagul jump scares where he's in the attic and the kids are watching the video and then like, oh, he's right there on the camera. What?
Yeah.
And then they do it again at the end and you're like, all right.
That was Jason Blum. I had that note that you got to have Carrie's hand pop out of at the end or Jason pop. You got to have a dumb jump scare.
Got to make it real dumb for the kids. But overall, let's get to the twist ending, because you've got they finally decide, like, once they've had enough, they're like, the kids are freaked out. We got to leave this house. I don't care about my book anymore. Mm-hmm. Officer so-and-so, which is like this kind of Deputy Dewey of the movie. Like, I want to help out however I can, Mr. Rider Man.
Mom said you call me officer when I'm at work.
When I'm wearing this badge, I'm an officer of the law. But he wants to help out. And then he's like, hey, all the families were like, they all were like connected. They like moved houses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And this is, he finds this out after he's already moved. And they're like, wait,
dun,
what?
Dun, dun. Yeah.
And that's when the entire time you kind of think like maybe Trevor's going to be the baddie. Turns out it's the daughter.
Yep. And she slips some Bagul juice in his drink.
Yeah.
But whatever it was. I call it boogie juice. That
boogie
sounds,
juice?
Yeah. So, come on, baby. Have some boogie juice.
That's what Bill Cosby used in the, in
that,
the 70s.
Stop it.
I'll stop. I'm sorry. That was a crass joke. Just in case we want to cut that is happening at 1 hour exactly.
I won't, but hey, check out our Michael Jackson episode on Patreon.
they call Mr. Boogie. A side note, there was this nightclub in town called Boogie Nights. And like the main mascot there was named like Mr. Boogie. It was like a 70s themed disco. So when they said Mr. Boogie, I was like, the guy they got to dress up in disco clothes, he's here?
The guitar player from Slipknot?
Psychosocial.
But they moved back to the old house. You'd think everything's going to be okay, but that ain't the case in this.
Nope.
Because now Mr. Boogie, is now controlling the, and the producer wife asks, is he possessing the daughter? Is he controlling her? What's going on here?
I think he's controlling her. Mm-hmm. I think he has like influence over her. I did make a note that when they're driving from the town, the score in this is very creepy, but was that not like weird moaning porn music when they were leaving this town?
I think so. And it matched up when he's burning all the stuff in the backyard.
Yeah.
It's definitely a tone shift with the music, I think.
Yeah, and he does that. That's a good point. He does try to, well, once he's had enough, he's seen all the stuff he needs to see, he just decides to burn everything, which never works. Like you can't burn the stuff and hope it's gone.
No,
but he does try. They get to the new house. She is under the influence of Mr. Boogie, and then she paints the house with an axe,
paints it red.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that they showed so much of the other ones, that they did so much of this off screen for some reason. We don't need to, I guess maybe what your imagination does is far worse than seeing it, but it did feel like they did cut away quite a bit.
Maybe if they showed the Super 8 version of it.
Yeah.
Then you saw the tape of it.
That'd be really creepy. But while she's painting the house, you see the ends of, what makes him burn the tapes is he watches the rest of it. And he sees
the extended
kids are,
cuts.
Yeah, the director's cut. He has the commentary on with the kids. They had a lot of really good behind the scenes stuff about how things were shot.
And why he'll, you see me cut his float.
Do you see right here? I had to tie him to a pool chair and I had to pull him real tough. My daddy was really strong.
He gets the extended cuts, and then you see the children come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, and these kids are fucking creepy.
Oh, yeah. Anytime it's a child anyway, and you have the scene where he's running around in the dark in the house, and they're all kind of popping out, but he's not seeing them.
Yeah, ugh. Ghost kids, not a fan. But then they all get killed, they paint the house, the legacy lives on, and then you see the daughter, like, walk into the screen, and she's now one with Bagul.
One of us.
What a fucking scary movie, man.
Let me see. The pool scene was done practically. Like I said, they had the people down in the water to give them oxygen. Despite featuring no nudity and very minimal swearing, this was given the R rating. And I was trying to think, which one did we just have that? And that was The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Just so scary, it's an R.
Yeah. They said that they were hoping for a PG-13, but they still got an R. I don't think you can. I think there's a lot here to get an R rating. I think that I think that hanging alone is enough for an R rating. I think the throat cutting definitely an R rating, And just, yeah, people drowning, getting burned alive. And it's just very, very, very scary.
It's just 2 hours of boobless effective scares. I'll say that much.
Boobless dread. Like, I thought I would be okay. Like, I'm playing it up for laughs a little bit, but I watched this with all the lights on. It's I knew what was happening, but I just, even talking about this movie feels like it's kind of evil. I don't know how to explain it. It's one of those things.
You and producer wife are the same.
I just don't know. Can I call her after this is over with and be like, girl?
No. I'll be like, who are you texting?
It's Gavin. He's scared. He's scared of Mr. Boogie.
As long as I can text Stephanie.
If you want to.
Psych. She's been texting me.
Oh, no. She said she went to bed.
I need a man who don't have night terrors. Yeah, but I do urinate frequently.
Well, you know that this is Proctober. You might want to get that checked out.
Yeah, on maybe, well, I don't know if it's a Patreon exclusive or not, but we're both getting our prostate exams.
We're getting fingers up our butt for Proctober.
Hey, it's for a good cause. Come on down to the Walmart on East 86th Street. We're doing a live remote. We're getting our procs checked.
God, please don't bring up remotes, because there were so many weird ones. I've talked about before, from the strip club, from meat trucks. They're like, come on down, you guys. Listen, men's health is super important. Come on, pull on in here. We're doing free prostate exams all day. When you do it, we will give you a River City Rocker t-shirt. It's worth it. We'll play any request you want, as long as it's Proctober related.
Rocking around the proc tonight.
What a happy holiday.
Are we done?
Oh, man. It's just a lot. It's just a lot.
It's a heavy movie.
Oh, let's talk about the signs of the scare. The signs of the scare study that comes out. Let me get my details pulled up here.
Because we did a whole episode on the field trip with Brent Terhune, who is me. On this, but it changes every year, but it's based on heart rate, and they do a survey, they show people all these movies, and really the movie that has the highest heart rate during it, and I think Sinister, at least for a few years, or usually ranks in the top, if not the first spot, of the highest heart rate during a movie. And the other one, just recently, was a new one, Host, which is on Shudder, and it's only an hour long. It's worth checking out as well.
Yeah, so this is done by Science of Scare, broadbandchoices.uk. And they in 2020, Sinister one, the average resting heart rate for the study was 65, and then the average heart rate per minute for this, while watching Sinister, was 86. So your heart's 20 more beats per minute with this. The highest spike in this was 131, and the overall difference was about 21 beats per minute. So then in 2021 and 2022, Host, the very low-budget Zoom movie that's on Shudder, that was the highest. But still overall, it's still really close. The overall difference between Host and Sinister was 21 beats per minute to 24. That's the difference. Yeah. I still think Sinister is way scarier than Host.
I think over the next few years or decade, we'll see Sinister probably beat out Host. Not to say that Host is a bad movie, because I think it's good. But I think Sinister overall is probably the scarier movie. Does it list other movies that are kind of in the realm?
Yeah. So the top three from 2020 was Sinister at number one, Insidious at number two, and The Conjuring at number three. Okay. And then Hereditary number four, Paranormal Activity at number five. So that was the top five in 2020. The top five in 2021 was Host, Sinister, Insidious, The Conjuring, and Hereditary.
Okay.
And then in 2022, they have not done one yet for this year, which will be interesting to see what they do. Mm-hmm. Probably Talk to Me will be on there, because that's a hot new one. But in 2022, Host, Sinister, Insidious, The Conjuring, and Hereditary. So basically the exact same order as 2021.
So, yeah, again, if somebody said, hey, this is the scariest movie of all time, can't disagree.
And what's crazy is, like, the scariest movies that people talk about like The Exorcist. Like The Exorcist last year ranked like number 23 on this list. So
it could be because it's so slow compared to some of these other movies.
But then you've got like, this is hard to take seriously when a movie like Dash Cam. Did you see Dash Cam?
No, I didn't.
Dash Cam, I hated Dash Cam. I thought the main character was really annoying and just not a good movie. But that's like number 8. And I never felt like Dash Cam was a number 8 scary movie.
Then it's like sometimes you meet normies who, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not a normie. And they're like, oh, I thought so-and-so was terrifying. I'm like, that was nothing, dude. Like,
and that's what you and I kind of said when we watched Talk to Me, which is the Australian horror movie that everybody was kind of talking about, which we'll probably do an episode on at some point.
Yeah.
But everybody was like, the scariest movie. You won't sleep for days. 95 on Rotten Tomatoes, scariest movie of the decade. And then you and I both watched it and we're like, okay.
Like, yeah, I mean, I thought it was good, but it's not like... I didn't shit my britches over it.
Yeah.
That was later, over an unrelated matter.
Because you went to a Mexican restaurant where you had too much of the giant Pepsi cups, your fajitas were too hot, and you're like, it wants out.
Too much sugar just goes right through me with fajitas. Fajitas is my favorite Dragon Ball Z character, by the way.
Oh, the Saiyan Prince Vegeta. Love him. I love him.
Sis, I can hear him coming from a mile away. It's so hot.
From the planet Vegeta. Perfect. But people who over, like, when we say, if a lot of people listen to this podcast and don't watch the movies because we're just so fucking lovable. Let me tell you, man. But when we say sinister, it's fucking scary and hurts hearts, and I'm scared to be alone in my very nice home right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sleeping with the lights on tonight, and I'm a 36-year-old man.
Well, hopefully they don't start to flicker like they just did behind you.
God damn it, you son of a bitch. Actually, this has bad wiring, so it might flicker on its own.
Well, the power goes out in the movie, so hopefully it's just not a coincidence, Gavin.
All right, well, this has been a really good episode, guys.
Let's
really
wrap it up.
But overall...
So I guess... Is this a party movie?
Fuck no, it's not a party movie.
But it's better watched in a group.
I don't know. I watched with 3 other grown-ass men, and yeah, we were kissing in between the scenes, but I didn't feel any safer.
Is this movie scary?
Yes. Yes. From the jump, I was like, after we sang Gorilla lyrics, I was like, this is a fucking scary movie.
Got spooky. What's your oh shit moment?
Gotta be the lawnmower, man. Not the Lawnmower Man movie. When they watch Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. Yeah. God, it was so scary. I would say the lawnmower kill too.
Yeah. What's your favorite kill?
And again, you could say Lawnmower Man, but I guess if oh shit is the lawnmower, then I guess the, I don't know. There's the hanging, there's the pool, there's the barbecue, and the sleepy time. So I'll go with the hanging.
Okay. I would go with sleepy time. 'Cause it's so upsetting.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you like this movie, what should people check out?
Nothing. Stop watching movies like this.
Did you see Sinister 2?
Yeah, it fucking sucks.
That's what I heard.
It's terrible. It is awful because in this, the kills are very practical and like a child could rig it up with the help of their Mr. Boogie stepdad. Mm-hmm. But in the second one, there's one down to bayou and they like string people up over alligators and like alligators jump up and eat them. And I was like, okay, this is too much.
You know who was there was goddamn Michael Myers.
Goddamn Michael Myers. He out there crawdad fishing and he fucking hanging up with the boogie.
Do you think it'd be funny if after the people are hanged, the girl came out with a little bat and started hitting him like pinatas?
And then candy's coming out.
Candy. Yeah.
Yes. Hilarious. In all honesty, though, if you like this kind of movie, Sinister 2, don't watch it. It's not very good. I think Host is the scariest movie of all time. Maybe you've heard of it.
Hey.
I think Host is good. Honestly, 8mm, I know we joked about it, but it's like a snuff found film type movie. And then like any of the VHSs, any of the VHS series, I'd recommend.
I'll say the other stuff from Scott Derrickson, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, maybe The Black Phone just because it was directed by him. I'm trying to think if there's other stuff that I would recommend that makes you feel dark and heavy. I'll say what has a similar vibe to it is Lake Mungo. I've said that on this podcast for a long time, and eventually I think we will do it, but Lake Mungo is one as well.
I will wait till Stephanie's back before I fucking watch Lake Mungo.
Okay.
I think I tried watching Lake Mungo one time, and it was like way too late at night, and I was like, I don't want to watch this. This is
It's not a bedtime movie.
This is not a bedtime movie. I'd also, I thought of another one. I can't remember what it is now gone from me.
It's all right. What are we talking about next week?
That is a good question, my good friend Brent.
We're not doing Death Proof, right?
We're not doing Death Proof. Let me pull up my email here.
I would say also there's a movie called The Dark and the Wicked. I don't know if it's on Shudder, if it's moved around, but that's just a good movie anyway. That's a kind of a heavy movie as well.
So to lighten things up, because we're kind of going heavy, light, heavy, mm-hmm. light. We're doing one that you have requested so many times, Brent. You mm-hmm. want this movie, Earnest, Scared, Stupid.
Know what I mean, Vern?
Yeah. Starring John Cena as as Ernest, Jim Varney. It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I have seen parts of this as a kid, but I've never sat down and watched it all the way through, so I'm very excited for this.
What a treat.
What a treat for me. Yeah, so yeah. Very excited for that. As always, be sure to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. When you subscribe to our Patreon for our $5 or $8 tier, we now have They're Coming to Get You stickers that mm-hmm. if you subscribe to our Patreon, once you subscribe, message us your address, and we will mail you one of our logo stickers as a gift mm-hmm. to you. You also get those bonus episodes. We got 6 bonus episodes up right now, ready for your listening. We do a lot of quizzes, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of interaction on there. You can help pick episodes that we cover. Mm-hmm. So definitely head over to patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou and get yourself a sticker.
And those stickers eventually, soon, I think, will be available for purchase if you're just a freeloading cuck.
Yeah.
Like we say over on the field, or the whatever podcast I do, the other one.
The cafeteria?
Yep, that one.
I'm not a fan.
So those will be for purchase as well here soon if you don't want to join for whatever dumb reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that. But yeah, so patreon.com/theycomingtogetyou. Brent?
They're coming to get you.
Mr. Boogie?
They're coming to get you. They're coming for you, Barbara.
They're coming to get you.